Good morning. One of the most important words in our English language, especially when it comes to relationships, is the word sorry. Some of us use that word a lot because of the choices we have made and maybe some of the bonehead actions that we've done in our relationship. So the word sorry is coming off of our tongues frequently. Other times, sorry is also used if you're conveying, like, wish that didn't happen to you. Like, sorry you got the bad news, sorry you lost your job, something like that. So sorry is a very important word in our relationships with other people. So if you're in Italy, how do we say it, Anne? Scusa, thank you. If we're going to France, pardon. If you are, well, around here, this is actually helpful. If you need to say it in Spanish, lo siento. Any good German-speaking people here? Es tut uns leid. So if you ever find yourself in Germany and you need to say you're sorry, and for some reason they have Persia on there. If you ever find yourself in Persia, I don't know how to say. Mane asafam, so something like that. So, sorry is in every language, and it is a very important word in personal relationships. All right, there's going to be two parts today where we could have audience participation. What does it mean to you to grant forgiveness? This is where you could raise your hand and speak. Roger. Okay, let it go, don't bring it up again. As if it never happened, all right? Thank you, Adele. Anything else? Promotes the healing process. Anything else? Okay. So when someone comes up and says, I'm sorry, and you say, okay, I forgive you, probably each one of us has a different idea of what that means. And what we're going to talk about today is a lot of the stuff that was brought up here. That forgiveness, if we grant true forgiveness, we're going to start to free our hearts. Because so many times the things that have happened to us chain our hearts. They not only affect our relationship with that individual person, but they can affect how we start to act towards other people. They can start to affect how we see the world. So when we can start to grant forgiveness, our hearts start to be free. Now, so many times we're told we gotta forgive these people. But we come up with every excuse in the book why we should not forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. They ruined my reputation. They put me through hell. You know what they did to my family. They don't deserve forgiveness. They deserve payback. They did whatever we want to put in that blank. They don't deserve to be forgiven. C.S. Lewis said, forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have something to forgive. Would you agree with that? It is a lovely idea until we actually have to grant it. And, forgiveness sounds like a noble idea and something we need to have in our hearts. In reality, it's tough to forgive because we know what happened to us. We know the pain we felt. We know the emotions behind it. And we might say to someone, I forgive you, but our hearts aren't there and our emotions aren't there. Forgiveness comes out of our mouth. It's not in our hearts. And unfortunately, when we don't truly forgive, we become a prisoner to that action. Forgiveness is truly a Christian value. It's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. So it's definitely something that is important. In Luke 6, Jesus says, Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. In Matthew 6, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is, those are probably two of the toughest verses in the whole Bible for me. Because every night you could sit there and make the best contrite confession to God, asking for forgiveness. But if you have a grudge against someone or bad feelings about someone that you've never forgiven them for, you might as well not even speak. Because God's not going to forgive you. That's tough. You think you're making this great confession, you're sorry for what you did, but if we're holding a grudge, it's all for naught. In Colossians 3, Paul writes, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, it, as in love, keeps no records of wrongs. How good is a relationship if you keep bringing up past things? And you know, the love just isn't there. And when you keep bringing up stuff from the past, the love just gets hurt. And there's no good that can come from that. Here are some quotes from Good Friday, all out of Luke 23. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So this is just some of the things Jesus heard that day. Not including the beatings, the crowning with thorns, the other insults that were hurled at him, and oh, not to mention having stake or nails driven through his wrists and his feet and hanging on the cross to die. This was Jesus' response. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. All that happened to him that day, probably more than what we've ever endured in our lives or what one person has ever done to us, Jesus' response was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Those 12 tortured words in Luke 23, any excuse we have to not forgive, it just goes out the window. All that happened to Jesus that day, and he said, forgive them. Some people say, I'll forgive them if they ask for an apology. You may never get that apology. They may not even know that they did something wrong. They may not even know the situation or how you feel. I'll forgive them if they ask for an apology. You know who did not get an apology? Our Lord. Our Lord did not get an apology from the Jewish people, their leaders, the soldiers, Pilate, no one that day. And he still said, forgive them. I don't know, is it ever in the Bible that his disciples ever apologized for deserting him? Is it ever written that, you know, Peter came up and said, sorry about the denial thing? I mean, no one apologized to our Lord. And all he said was, forgive them. Second chance for you to participate. Take a look, found all these things of what forgiveness isn't. Do any of these stick out to you?
Does that mean a relationship will be restored?
Okay.
Does that mean forgive for the wrong reasons?
Okay. So it doesn't mean that relationship's going to go back to how it was. Anything else stick out to you?
It doesn't change that what happened.
Yes. The event still happened. Pardon? Yes. You may agree with these, you may not agree with them, but all of these basically say forgiveness, it's going to end up in your heart, how you feel afterwards. You know, that church in South Carolina that got shot up by Dylan Roof, they all forgave him and they said, you can come back anytime and do a Bible study. We'll welcome you back. The charges weren't dropped. He's still in jail. He's still serving those consequences. You know, and I like the one, it doesn't mean that you have to tell the person you forgave them. A lot of times, you know, if they don't know that they did wrong or they've never asked for an apology, you know, that's where it's going to end up between you and God, that you forgave that person. So we're going to start to talk about how we start to forgive. First off, forgiveness starts in our heart, and it works its way out. A lot of times it's between you and God. You ask God to start to help you to let go of what happened. Forgiveness is a decision to not live in the past. Because if we keep looking backwards, those same pain is going to come up over and over again, and we cannot move forward. It's a choice of ours, basically, to release others from their sin so that we can move forward with our lives. How many times should we forgive someone? Jesus has an answer. Yes, it is. 7 times 7. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. In fact, what Jesus is telling Peter is every time you got to forgive. Yes, it is 490, I believe, if I did my math correctly. Can you imagine if God cut us off after 490 apologies? We would be in trouble. You know, some of us are making 490 apologies within a month. But what Jesus is saying is forgive them every time that they come up and ask for your forgiveness. Lewis Smedes, author of Forgive and Forget, he has 3 levels of forgiveness. The first is we look at that person and we realize that they're a human just like us. You might say to yourself, well, you know what they did to me? And then you start to examine your own life and you're like, okay, I might have done something similar to that somewhere along the line. You know, you're hurt by gossip. I remember when I used to gossip a lot, and, you know, so you start to see the humanity coming back, and you realize you're both sinners, you both make mistakes. The second step is we got to get rid of the revenge factor and the payback, and you're going to say, you know what, God, you're the ultimate judge. You take care of this one. I got to let go of the revenge factor. You take care of this one. And we have to revise our feelings towards a person. We have to give up our hatred and our bitterness. I was talking to someone, and they had some really strong negative feelings towards a person in their lives. And they wrote this person's name on a piece of paper. And they were instructed to put a heart around that name. And that person said almost immediately, when they put that heart around that name, the bad feelings changed. And it didn't erase anything that had happened in the past. But they started to have better feelings towards that person. And that might seem like a simple little exercise, but that's what we have to do. We have to change our attitude towards that person. Our goal as Christians is to achieve total forgiveness. And we know that we have reached total forgiveness when we can pray for the blessings upon that person. Jesus says in Matthew 5, pray for those who persecute you. If you can pray for someone that God blesses them, and usually that means good things happen. You're praying that good things happen to that person. I think you've moved past the hatred. I think you've moved past the bad feelings because you're asking God to bless them. At one point, we might be saying, God, strike them down. But now, we're asking, you know what, God? Help them to have a good day today. Help them through whatever crisis they're going through in their life, just like I would like you to help me. Granting ultimate forgiveness is tough. That's why we need God's help, because to my knowledge, he's about the only person, or not person, only one that has granted us total forgiveness. We need his help. Is there anyone in our life that we need to grant total forgiveness to? Starting to wrap up, I want to end on thinking about our attitude towards forgiveness. This is the grateful servant parable. Grateful as in quotes, meaning maybe they're not that grateful. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees, begged him, be patient with me. He begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. We have to examine our lives and our attitude towards forgiveness. Are we like that grateful servant? That grateful servant had a huge debt that he got forgiven, but he was not willing to forgive a much smaller debt. Is that our attitude when it comes to granting forgiveness? We would love everyone to forgive us and to forget what happened and move on, but we're stingy with our forgiveness. We're not willing to let go. We hold on and we forget how much we've been forgiven, and we want to hold on to our grudges and our bad feelings. Start to wrap up. Forgiveness is not optional for Christians. If we are going to follow Jesus, we have to forgive like God has forgiven us. Freely, completely, graciously, and totally. I think to the extent that we like forgiveness is how much we're going to give forgiveness. If we like that feeling that people say, it's all right, we're going to move on, I forgive you, I think that affects our attitude when someone comes to us and asks for our forgiveness. I think we're more willing to give that to them. I believe we will never be more like Jesus than when we forgive. Probably one of the toughest things to do in our lives because it tugs at our emotions. We have memories in our heads. But if we're striving to be like Jesus, We need to strive to forgive. And we will never be free from past unless we forgive. Forgiveness gives us that chance to move on with our lives and just to free our hearts and let that person go. God forgives us every day. Every day for the things that we mess up on, as long as we've forgiven people in our lives. It's not easy to do because it's an emotional thing. It's a memory thing. But I don't think there's, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think we like to hold on to grudges. I don't think we like to have bad feelings. But unfortunately, I think a lot of times pride holds us back from giving forgiveness because we think that's going to be a sign of weakness. Our Lord was not weak on that cross. Our Lord was at his strongest moment as he got on that cross to die for our sins. Let's pray each day that we can follow his example and grant total forgiveness in our hearts to those who need it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful to you for your grace and your mercy and your willingness to forgive us time and time and time again. Help us, Lord, to grant that same forgiveness to other people in our lives. Help us, Lord, to free our hearts from the grudges and bad feelings that we have so that we can be more like you and that we can move on with our lives and become stronger Christians and better servants to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone at this time has a need of the church, if you would like to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, if you have a need that you would like the church to pray for, I do know that Eleanor came up to me, and her and her family are going to go out to Seattle for the memorial of her relative that was killed out there, and she's very grateful for the cards that our church signed for them. Is it the Stewart family?
I won't be going.
Oh, you won't be.
The Snyder family.
Oh, Snyder family. So we wish the Snyder family comfort out there and also safe travels. But Eleanor is very grateful for the cards that we signed. So if you have a need of the church, please come forward as we sing.